Good morning. It's April 29th, and this is your daily brief in world news. Here's everything you need to know. In a critical moment for the Middle East, efforts to halt the Israel-Hamas conflict are gaining momentum, with a proposed ceasefire that could change the course of the current tensions. This proposal, coming from Egypt, is not just about silencing the guns. It's about an exchange that could see Israeli hostages return home in exchange for Palestinian prisoners alongside a three-week truce. The stakes are high, with Israel's foreign minister, Israel Katz, putting the release of Israeli hostages at the forefront of Israel's priorities. The possibility of a military operation in Rafah, a key city in the southern Gaza Strip and Hamas's last stronghold, hangs in the balance, contingent on the success of these negotiations. This operation could be suspended, marking a significant pivot in Israel's strategy if a deal for the hostages' release is secured. On the international stage, U.S. Secretary of State Antony J. Blinken is stepping into the fray, heading to Saudi Arabia with the aim of brokering a ceasefire deal that encompasses the release of all hostages. This move underscores the global dimension of the conflict and the urgency of diplomatic efforts to prevent further escalation. The international community is vocal in its plea for Israel to reconsider a ground invasion of Rafah. The humanitarian implications are profound, with over 1 million Palestinians already displaced by the war, living in dire conditions. The U.S. is concurrently pushing for more accessible humanitarian aid in Gaza, highlighting the critical need for support amidst the high casualty toll on both sides. This complex tableau of diplomacy, military strategy, and humanitarian concern paints a picture of a region at a crossroads. With the potential for a ceasefire on the horizon, the coming days are crucial in determining whether diplomacy can pave the way for peace or if the conflict will escalate further. In a move that's ignited a firestorm of international controversy, the Iraqi parliament has enacted a law that imposes severe prison sentences on individuals engaging in same-sex relations or undergoing gender transition surgeries. This legislation has quickly become a focal point of global human rights discussions, drawing sharp rebuke from various corners of the world. The law stipulates that individuals found guilty of engaging in same-sex relations could face between 10 and 15 years in prison. Meanwhile, those undergoing or facilitating gender transition surgeries could see themselves sentenced to 1 to 3 years behind bars. This marks a significant escalation in the legal penalties faced by the LGBT community in Iraq. The international backlash has been swift and severe, with both the U.S. State Department and the British Foreign Secretary condemning the new legislation. They've raised concerns about the law's potential to harm society and the economy, warning of the broader implications of such punitive measures against the LGBT community. These statements underscore the growing international scrutiny on Iraq's human rights record, particularly regarding its treatment of sexual and gender minorities. Iraqi officials, however, have taken a defensive stance, asserting that the law is necessary to uphold societal values. They've accused Western nations of interfering in Iraq's legislative process, framing the law as a bulwark against external cultural influences. Human rights organizations have been vocal in their opposition, highlighting the law as a dangerous precedent in a country already criticized for its treatment of LGBT individuals. These groups are sounding the alarm on what they see as a grave setback for human rights in Iraq, pointing to a troubling history of rights abuses against the LGBT community. This law not only intensifies the legal challenges faced by gay and transgender individuals in Iraq, but also signals a worrying trend towards increased discrimination and persecution. Mother Nature unleashed her fury once again as severe tornadoes swept through Oklahoma and Iowa, leaving a trail of devastation, including the tragic loss of lives. Among the casualties in Oklahoma was a 4-month-old baby, underscoring the indiscriminate nature of these disasters. The small town of Sulphur bore the brunt of the storm's wrath, prompting a swift response from state officials. Governor Kevin Stitt has declared a state of emergency and is actively visiting the affected areas to assess the damage and coordinate relief efforts. In response to the crisis, emergency services have established reunification centers and shelters for those displaced, While utility companies are grappling with power outages affecting approximately 24,000 customers. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration has sounded the alarm with severe weather warnings for several states, indicating the potential for further destruction. Oklahoma's declaration of a state of emergency now encompasses 12 counties, reflecting the widespread impact of these tornadoes. The severe weather has not only left thousands without electricity in Oklahoma and Texas, but has also prompted calls for federal assistance from the governors of Oklahoma and Nebraska. Adding to the concern, the National Weather Service issued a tornado warning for several counties in Texas, highlighting the ongoing threat. Amidst this chaos, the Bob Mills Weather Center is diligently providing live updates, offering a glimmer of hope and information to those in the path of the storms. Recent studies have pointed to a worrying trend, a shift in tornado activity patterns and an increase in natural disasters across the U.S., linked to the broader effects of climate change. This series of events serves as a stark reminder of our vulnerability to the forces of nature and the increasing importance of preparedness and resilience in the face of climate change. In a critical bid to prevent another war in the Middle East, French Foreign Minister Stéphane Séjourné has taken on the role of mediator, aiming to de-escalate the growing tensions between Hezbollah and Israel. Amidst a backdrop of increasing hostilities, France steps in with a proposal designed to bring both parties to a common ground, suggesting Hezbollah's elite unit retreat 10 kilometers from the Israeli border in exchange for Israel ceasing its strikes in southern Lebanon. During his visit to the UNIFIL headquarters in southern Lebanon, Séjourné highlighted the palpable risk of war in the area, exacerbated by the frequency and impact of strikes. This visit underscores the gravity of the situation and France's commitment to averting a conflict. However, a significant hurdle presents itself as Hezbollah insists on a ceasefire in Gaza before any substantive discussions can take place regarding the French proposal. The Lebanese government's feedback on France's initiative reveals a divided stance, with no clear consensus emerging. This lack of unity complicates diplomatic efforts, yet Séjourné is not deterred. He plans to extend these discussions to Arab and Western states in Saudi Arabia, aiming to consolidate a unified position that he will then present to Israel later in the week. Amidst these diplomatic maneuvers, the United States has also thrown its hat into the ring, with envoy Amos Hochstein visiting Jerusalem. This involvement signifies the international community's concerted effort to quell the violence, highlighting the critical nature of these negotiations and the broader implications for regional stability. In a striking move against freedom of expression, Russia has intensified its crackdown on dissent, arresting members of a metal band and journalists under charges of promoting Nazi symbolism and extremism. This latest wave of repression targets not just domestic opposition, but also reaches into the realms of music and independent media, signaling a troubling escalation in efforts to silence dissent. Three members of the Russian metal band Korozia Metala found themselves in the grips of the law in Nizhny Novgorod, accused of flaunting Nazi symbols during a concert. Authorities seized merchandise from the event, including t-shirts and books, claiming they bore band imagery. The band's director, however, refutes these accusations, arguing that the symbols in question are ancient Slavic, not Nazi. This incident highlights the ambiguous line between cultural expression and alleged promotion of hate symbols in Russia today. The crackdown extends beyond music to the press. Journalists Konstantin Gabov and Sergei Karolina, known for their work on videos for Alexei Navalny's YouTube channel, were arrested on charges of extremism. Their arrest is part of a broader pattern of repression that has escalated since Navalny's movement was labeled extremist, putting anyone associated with it at risk of prosecution. This move comes in the wake of increased government pressure following Navalny's poisoning, his subsequent death, and the events surrounding Putin's re-election. The implications of these arrests are far-reaching, affecting not just those directly involved, but also signaling to opposition groups, independent media, and foreign journalists operating in Russia that the space for free expression is rapidly diminishing. This crackdown reflects a concerted effort by the Russian government to control narratives, suppress dissent, and stifle opposition. raising serious concerns about the state of freedom of speech and human rights in the country. This has been your daily brief in world news. To read more about these stories, follow the links in the episode bio. You can also subscribe to these updates via email at www.brief.news. For more daily podcasts about the topics you love, visit brief.news/podcasts. Tune in tomorrow. We'll be back with everything you need to know.